country did it.
Oh,
they
you
don't
mean
print any truth anymore. Or do you think that ours is the God speak?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely
so now
not.
We have two people full of crap. You have to sift through all of their rubble to find some visage of truth. Correct?
Right on. Right
it's
on.
Called sifting for it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's like finding you on the radio station. How many people out there are talking about what you talk of across this country? You know, out of
right.
the tens of thousands of voices on the air now, there's probably less than 200 of you talking any kind of truth.
No, absolutely. And that is the scary part. And that's you know, the good thing is that there are a lot of folks who are talking. We live in a new age with, you know, podcasting, with alternate, you know, that you can have alternate, albeit much smaller media out there. But because of the network capabilities or the network, you know, the essence of the network that that exists around us, you know, the internet.
Yeah.
Even if it is just a small little guy blogging about something between his 15 friends, those 15 can get it posted in places and get that there can be a replication and a groundswell that can make a big difference. Of course, they're trying to change that or fight that with things like net neutrality and controlling how you would have access.
Yeah, I understand that, but I also have full faith that the technophobes will roll out something that will just blow it out of the water, no matter what
absolutely,
they do.
Because you're right, just like you're talking about this, the thing with the drones and
mm-hmm. That's right. Some kid will figure it out.
And every other hacking thing that goes on. I mean, you know, there was a kid that... I'm pretty sure this is a true story. I don't know. It may have been just a...
Yeah, legend.
Because I read about this guy, one of the early hackers who figured out the touch tone deal.
Yeah.
And somebody will call in and tell me I'm all jacked up and I'm remembering a movie. But there was a guy called Captain Crunch... Because he had figured out a way, some toy that they sold in Cap'n Crunch made the notes, made the same notes as the dial tones.
Correct. And you could call internationally or something.
Yeah,
I don't
and he
remember.
Could get away with, like, making phone calls because he knew how to, you know, he figured out an exploit in this massive new system. So you're right. There will always be... people out there like that. Now, unfortunately, the overclass is aware of that, and they're hiring them as well. You know what I mean?
If I had a tech company, my highest paid people would be the best hackers on the planet I could find.
I'm sure they are. All right, Stan, I'm going to let you go because
this
other caller is calling.
Show.
I'm going to have to try and sort through him real quick.
Okay. Look out for ozone.
All right. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. All right. Thanks. All right, Ozone, you're back at me, man. Are you?
What are you doing, brother?
I'm having trouble with your lucidity, so help me out, brother. I think we're gonna be done with you, I started to call you Lucid, Ozone, because you can't call up here and cuss him, man. I just had problems with this like last week. I'm done with that. No more cussing. Watch what you're saying when you call up on the radio show. I want everyone out there listening to give me a call at 816-931-5534. But when you do, turn your radio down. That way you'll hear me and not the 7-second delay. I'm not angry about this because I didn't explain this, and most people don't. Why would you have to know that? I should not be. I'm just thankful that you're listening at... 1 o'clock on a Monday morning. And it is 104, so let me let you know that you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. In the 21st century, even. But we have this delay thing that goes on so that I can try to silence the radio when people like Ozone call up and say, you're just effing crazy, or whatever it is. So I can try to mitigate the F-bombs and S-bombs that people try to slip in there. But need your help, folks, so turn your radio down when you make that phone call. So anyway, back to this license plate reader thing. The privacy people, you know, your ACLUs, your anti-this and that folks, are saying we got to have some openness. You know what I'm saying? We it's a good thing that there's a record and we're able to catch some guy, but privacy advocates readily admit license plate readers are powerful law enforcement tools. This from the Star. Developed in Great Britain, 1979, they came to the attention of U.S. law enforcement agencies with speed in 2000s after 9/11. I remember talking to you about the test programs in Cincinnati. Like in 2004, maybe. And telling you then that this was coming down the line, that they'll be able to do this stuff. So the question becomes, again, one of transparency and administration, right? Of administration. Who's in charge? Because my only problem with the information and it being held by the police and for how long and those kinds of things, but is, again, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, when you have a situation where the police can do things and then you can't poke back into what was their rationale, right? You can't go and find out, why did the police kick in my door and wave shotguns around in my face looking for pot in my house? And I'm growing tomatoes. And they're waving shotguns at my kids. I want to know why they're doing that. Family in Leawood should not have to spend upwards of $10,000, $20,000 to find that information out. They should be able to go right down to the police department and say, hey, there was a little mishap this morning. Your guys came in thinking I was some kind of pot dealer. I'm not a pot dealer, pot grower, or any other such thing. What the hell happened? How did this happen? And we should be able to examine the process and say, here's where it went off track. But the curtain closes around, I don't know if we want to call it the police or we want to call it the government, the state, the statists. And it looks like I lost my caller there. Feel free to call back. I kind of have to finish my thought before I can bring you up, because otherwise I get stuck an hour after starting a story, still on that story when there were other things I was trying to get back to. But it's all good. So, again, according to the paper, there are on the road, Kansas City and Overland Park lead in the number of license plate readers. But in Missouri, Blue Springs has two, Gladstone has one, Grandview has one, Independence doesn't have any, Kansas City has 12, Lee Summit one, Liberty none, North Kansas City one, Jackson County has two, Platte County one, Clay County N.A. What's that mean? Not answering? I don't know. Missouri Highway Patrol zero, Fairway. Boy, Kansas is a little slower on picking this stuff up. Five in Lenexa, one in Olathe, nine in Overland Park, one in Prairie Village, one in Shawnee. Other than that, I guess you can say that you're not being tracked in this method. And I shouldn't say tracked in this method, because that sounds like I'm calling it one thing. We're in a brave new world, so the terminology is fluid. But there are records being kept somewhere of where you are and where you've been. Just know that that is the case. If you have driven in any of those towns, driven through those towns, Blue Springs, Grandview, Overland Park, Kansas City, know that the chances are their readers have captured your location once or twice. Doesn't mean anything nefarious necessarily. As I said, they captured this fellow. However, if my neighbor, who's a cop, flips out, starts checking stuff out, showing up at my lodge meetings, saying, "Hey, Mike, I thought you weren't going to be a part of this anymore." I don't know what that means. But you know what I'm saying. If they can follow you, we should be able to track their tracking. Oh, to wit, okay? So what do I mean? And I'll be with you in just a second, caller. Please do not get impatient. We should be able to, when those policemen log in to look at that information, they should have to just that, log in. We know that Officer so-and-so accessed this database, and this is the information that he accessed. So that when I come to the police and say, "Officer Jones keeps showing up, following me around, it's really freaking me out," somebody can look back and go, "Yeah, it looks like Officer Jones has been accessing your information. We need to have more than a little slap on the wrist for this guy. He needs to be gone." KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Hi, this is Faye. And I'm from Kansas City, but I've been traveling around for the past 2.5 months. So I started listening to the broadcast, and it took me a second to figure out what you were talking about. And it's pretty alarming that Kansas City has 12 when other places have below 3, and then, you know, there's some that have 9, but Kansas City is definitely way up there,
well,
way higher.
But one thing you got to remember about Kansas City, if you're not from here, is
there's a lot more people there.
Huh?
Like, yeah, a lot more higher population gathered in that area.
A lot more people, but also way spread
out. More
crime. Well, no, just way spread out. I mean, when you go, like, I was out in Grandview earlier this week, and I was driving through Grandview, and then I crossed the street, and there was a sign that said, "Leaving Grandview, entering Kansas City," and then you keep driving, and you're back in Grandview. So, you know, for them to have one in their South Patrol Division and one in their East Patrol Division and one, I mean, they got a lot of cop shops. So just having one at each one or two at each one would put them at 12. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then you just...
So does it, like, randomly snap a photo of your car in motion, or is it, like,
no,
selected?
No, to my understanding, how it works is it's a... And if you can find a paper, yesterday's paper had it in there. I guess it's inside. It's not on the front page, the picture of the thing. But look at your police cars as you're riding around there, and you see all kinds of little antennas and doodads on them. And this one is a little box that's about the size, like I said, of a cable box that you have in your house, and it's just kind of mounted there. And then there's, in the couple of them that I've seen, they've got like a little cameras that are off to the side, I think on like one of those little SUV deals. But anyway, what it does is it just is reading your license plates as it goes. It can, you know, they can, the technology is just that crazy now. And I'm not sure if they haven't updated it to RFID to where they don't even got to look at you. It just like goes, "Everybody who's in the neighborhood, come on, report to Daddy. Daddy wants to know who's here." You know what I'm saying? And so when that cop is driving northbound and you're driving southbound, it still takes a note of your presence at this location.
So is there a certain, like, quality of the car or the driver or the style of driving that gives them permission, in a sense? I know that they can just check out anybody
this way. To my understanding,
is there something that they can justify triggering? Like, is the car not washed or something trivial? Or is it, like,
To my understanding, it is 100% universal that it is just going around and it is gathering that information. So if you are on the street If you are on 39th and Prospect at 12 o'clock when that cop happens to be driving by, it will note that you were there. Now, there's nothing wrong with you being there. There's no crime being fought. There's no even reason for that record to be ever looked at again, right? But if, say, you go missing, they go, hey, where's, I'm sorry, did you say Faith, right? If they, you know, suddenly somebody calls in and says, hey, I haven't seen Faith in a while, then they'll, what's her license plate number? And then they'll go, click, 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 click. They'll go, well, at noon, she was over here. This is where we need to start looking.
So they're just locating your movements through the city, essentially.
Yeah, it's just there. It's just there. It's not even, see, and this is the hard part, because when I first heard this stuff, I was like all anti-it, because I am just anti-normally, right? But it sounds like the, what I get concerned about is the potential for abuse, because I know that the abuse will come. It's not when, it's not if, it's when. Whether it's the cop who's mad at his girlfriend, or the cop who's decided that, you know, I bet if I go back and look, now, and listen to what I'm saying to you people, because I'm not just some crackpot saying this stuff, right? These are the things that can and will happen, right? Extortion.
I would say, like, there are definitely going to be pros and cons to it. Like,
right.
Overall, there's going to be both. And obviously, you would base your pro or con overall decision on what matters to you. Hopefully, and unfortunately not, you know, that police officers are human beings, and yeah, sometimes they would bring emotional, like you mentioned, the girlfriend or whatever. I mean,
right.
That's kind of like, hopefully they would behave more professionally, but the problem to me is that it's almost like when I use a smartphone and I go on, for example, Google, and I'm trying to sign up for a new, like, quality that's been updated to the program, and then it says, we would like permission to all of your contacts on Facebook and all of their contacts and all of your interactions with them and your location, and, like, do you accept? It's like, absolutely not, I don't accept. I mean, even if they already have that information, I am never going to approve that information.
Right.
This is like if you get pulled over and they start asking you questions, you don't have to answer questions. It's your right to refuse to speak. And it kind of is like an oxymoron in that way, that, you know, your movements are tracked. And even if they're not going to use it, they just do it to, like, store data about where you were at this time of day, you know. And, yes, hopefully it would be used to reduce crime, you know, because if somebody's linked to a case and they're trying to justify that they weren't there at this time or whatever, then they can refer to the police record and say, actually, you were there at this time, or at least somebody in your car was driving there at this time.
Right.
It's almost, this is an interesting analogy, but it just popped into my head, you know, or metaphor, like women's skirts, for example. In the old days, women's skirts had to be a certain length. They had to be down to your knee, and then it got shorter and it got shorter. And swimsuits, you had to have, like...
Uh-oh. I lost you, and it was just getting...
Oh, are you there?
Oh, there you are. There you are. All right.
Oh,
so we were to the... Oh, that's my fault completely and totally. I apologize. Go ahead. Is that better?
That's okay. Yeah, that's great.
I'm sorry.
Women's skirts were required to be a certain length in public, and then swimsuits also. And over time, it got shorter and shorter and shorter. And now, you can walk around with nothing on, essentially, depending
on
where you are. But overall, every place has gotten just completely relaxed about that. And so it's kind of the same thing with privacy, where I will do what I can throughout the evolution of laws to maintain as much privacy as I can, because no one is entitled to just know where I am, what I'm doing, who I'm talking to, what I'm saying, what I look like, what I'm wearing, what I'm eating, what I spend my money on. They're already doing that, and that's because of the power of money. On the internet, people make their living off of tracking people's buying habits, etc., you know, and that's the nature of society, is that we're going to try to profit off of each other. But in terms of, like, just my everyday activity, I do not appreciate the the country or the government, the community, accepting the idea that they get to know everything that I'm doing at any time, which possibly, I mean, it's not directly correlated, but, you know, that's a good example. I lived in Kansas City for 7 years, and I just needed a break, you know? And no one got to tell me where to go, what to do, and I, you know, obviously you abide by the law, but there are definitely places that I would not want to spend time in because of those kinds of rules, you know?
Right.
I don't want somebody, that's why I will never accept, you know, the phone company again, for example, being able to know everything about my friends and about me and what we talk about and what we buy, and the list goes on, you know?
Right.
I would like to keep it slow evolution as possible, so that eventually someday they're going to be able to, like, know how many times you go to the bathroom if they want to.
Right.
Because
And the key, because we know that it's going to happen, because you've already touched on a couple things that show that this is really just a redundancy in a large way, because right now I believe that the police can, if they need to and they go through enough hoops, they can pull phone records and find, you know, whatever they need to know. We hear about it all the time. We hear about some crash going on, and then a couple days later they come out and say, yeah, that person was getting a text like 30 seconds before the crash. So we know they were texting and driving. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
The information is there, because the fact that they were texting and they got it at 30 seconds, the phone company could also tell you pretty much exactly where they were. You know what I mean?
Right.
And when they were there, and could tell you where they'd been for the whole day. If they took the time, they could map out your entire trip, like all of it, not just and not just where a particular police car was that got your information, but the phone company ubiquitously is getting everything where you are and your friends, because they can, like, do track, you know, it's all there. It's a question of how it gets accessed, what are the safeguards to keep it from getting accessed, and what are the records of its being accessed. See, here's
right.
my problem with these, with this license tracking thing that we're talking about, because it is really just less effective than the phone company, but it's the police, not the phone company, right? So what I want to know is, can I know that if Officer A looks into records, that there's a record of him looking into it? You see, because here's the other nefarious use, right? Not just a guy who's mad at his girlfriend, because you can go, well, that doesn't happen very often. Okay, let's try some extortion, right? Right now, it's 1:30 in the morning, and I'm sorry if I'm busting you out there, Kansas City, but if there's a Johnson County license plate driving down Independence Avenue right now, I'm just saying, I got an idea what they're looking for. Okay. Now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem, too, because you could always insinuate something. I mean, I know exactly what you're referring to, but.
Absolutely. But now, listen, let's say I'm a bad cop. Wait a second.
Opposite.
Wait a second. Let's say I'm a bad cop, okay? Now,
right.
If I go and I pull the records from tonight, who at 1:30 was in this vicinity with Johnson County license plates, and then I get a little list. So now I got a short list of, let's say, 15 guys. We'll assume they're guys, right? So I got a list of 15 different addresses. Now, if I write letters, I'm not giving any of you dirty cops ideas, I swear to you. If I find you use this idea, I want my cut. But if I write these letters, write some, like, innocuous communication to the man of the house and say, hey, you know, just want to say I noticed you were over at Independence Avenue at 1:30 on the middle of the night. I wonder how your wife would like that information. Well, you got yourself a little bit of an extortion ring going on there.
If I got enough, he could just say, I have a nephew or a good friend who lives out there, and I, you know, took them home. Because they had a traumatic experience.
No, absolutely, you can have a good reason.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not saying you're guilty. I'm not saying you're guilty because you're on his list. I'm just saying that if you are guilty and you're on his list, you're going to fall prey. You're going to become a victim to a crook who's wearing a badge. And that happens. We know that happens because I can give you probably five cases in Kansas City right, in the Kansas City metro area of cops that have been caught doing bad things that they shouldn't be doing, using their badge to do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if they're willing to do that, if those are the people that are out there, then, you know, the same way you got a record of everywhere I've been, I just want a record that this information was accessed. So that when you try and blackmail me, and I was, like you said, just taking my nephew home or whatever, then I want to march down to the police department and square out a complaint against this jerk. And I want to be able to see when he accessed this information. How the hell did he get my information? Was he looking up a murder case and it just popped up? Or was he just doing, like I said, this little bullet search that got him some information that he's using? Now we have a record to make a case against him. But instead, what happens is the police go through every method they can to keep you from being able to do that. To wit, 2 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer than 2 weeks ago, I talked about a story about a case where what happened? It was 2 years ago, I believe, that the police busted into a house, started waving shotguns around, put the whole family down on the ground because they were suspected of growing marijuana. Do you know why they were suspected of growing marijuana?
Why?
Because a policeman was watching a hydroponic shop where they sell you stuff to grow tomatoes, but I guess you can also grow pot.
Uh-huh.
And so the policeman made the assumption that this individual is going into that store, therefore they're growing pot, and they jotted down the license plate info, and then they give it to another cop, and then that cop, on a given day, and this is the other part that pisses me off, is that the police were doing some anti-pot thing, and on April 20th, 420, they crashed into these people's houses, or these people's house, and terrorized them. And all they were doing was growing tomatoes. But it was based on their license plate and them being in a place.
Wow.
And it cost them upwards of $10,000 to find out, how did you come to be in my house? How is it that you made this mistake? That you
but
crashed?
It was discovered, right? And so,
well, but he had
they
to
were
fight.
Recompensed they for had that to, amount of money, or not?
They had to fight and fight and fight to get to it. You see, and
oh,
and
yeah.
Here was the problem. Here was the problem. They picked the wrong guy. Okay, this was some guy who, I guess, him and his wife were former CIA, not agents, but they worked for the CIA and had retired and obviously lived in Leawood, so they got a fair amount of money. They worked for the government, so they understand how the government works, and they pressed the issue. But if they had done that to me, right, because I have gotten these gardening, whatever you want to call, like man, I think I'm going to grow a garden this year, and I'll go out and buy all this stuff to grow a garden.
Yeah,
and I may even plant it. I may even plan it, but I won't get to the end of the year. But that's just me. But if they had done that to me because I went out and bought a bunch of stuff to plant a garden, and then they waved shotguns around, and I got nothing on me, I haven't done anything wrong, I wouldn't have any recourse. Because I'm not going to spend $10,000. I'm just going to count my lucky stars that they didn't kill me.
Yeah, and I was thinking that, too, because, you know, like the whole, like, comparison to, like, cell phones and things like that. So this is another hypothetical situation. Because with that, it's like, so we're being bombarded by the larger forces, and it's supposed to be the opposite. That's the whole point of, like, protection and governance and everything like that. It's supposed to protect the people. It's supposed to make sure that everything, but obviously we all know that that has been totally distorted. So as not to use the F-bomb.
Right.
You know, it's like with my cell phone company, I agreed to pay $90 a month, which is a lot, but I wanted a smartphone. And when I started getting my bills, it was fluctuating a little bit at the beginning between 105, and then all of a sudden I had one that was 118. And I called them a few times, and they said, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I thought, okay, it's switching a little bit because of introductory month fees, you know,
right,
I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, I started, I was like, $18 you know, $118, that is $28. You know what I mean? That I did not agree upon. They said, oh, well, it's taxes.
Right.
I said, okay, well, when I delete every single exact tax that you just listed to me for each month that I've paid, I still have about $10 more a month. Where is that $10 going to? Oh, it's taxes. They put me on the phone with their supervisor, and she said the same thing, and they said it depends on your state, but they couldn't tell me what percentage. And then finally one guy said, like, I called a couple of times because I was told that if you repeatedly call, then, you know, like, with a complaint, and they do not help you with your complaint,
right,
then you have more potential ability to cancel your contract without termination fees, you know. But that's a longer, totally unrelated element of the issue. But they sent me 80 pages of my phone usage to sift through to find out where that extra $10 was going per month. And I
you
went want through
to know,
it.
You find
gave,
out.
It had the exact same information in dollars of what I had spent that they told me over the phone in the first few pages. And then all the rest of the pages had this phone call. So they had all my phone calls, the times listed, you know, for like every month that I'd had so far, which is only like a couple of months. So it was like 80 pages. And I just found that preposterous because it's, you have to stand up for yourself, and you still are denied. And it's like, unless you go to the court, you call the city and you say, this is the taxes, the cell phone, here's the bureau that I need to contact for that. And there's like six different bureaus that you need to contact to find out why you're getting charged $10 extra, because if you sign out of your contract earlier than you agreed on, because they're screwing you out of what you signed up for, you know, taxes, quote unquote. And then it's like, you know, 40% of what, because they said they're only taxing me on the $60, not the other 30. You know, it's just like ridiculous, and it's caused me a lot of stress. And so, you know, in terms of this license plate thing, you know, if somebody starts saying, well, we have this and this information on you, you know what I mean? And then you have to keep track of your own movements and to keep up with what they're saying to you. Like, I don't know if I was there. Do we have access to those records to say, okay, you said I was there at that time? I honestly don't remember, because that was months ago or however long back they might refer to it. I would like to see the record of license plate tracking areas that you've caught, that you've, you know, registered me at. And if they deny you, you know, that's a huge question. I would like to know if they actually let the public go and check their own records.
Well, see, you know? this is part of what I'm ultimately getting at, is that we need to have access to who has access to our information, because I understand that the information is going to be generated because that's just the way it is. They need that information to bill you, right? Because they're going to bill you based on the length of your call. Now, maybe you have an unlimited plan and they don't need to do that, but it's a system thing that they do, because ultimately they bill you by the minute, right? But then they also give you a break. If you're talking to somebody who also is a customer of ours, then we don't charge you, or we charge you a different rate. So they got to keep record of that guy, and they got to keep record of this, and they got to keep record of that. So it's all there. You know what I mean? It's all there. So the question becomes one of access.
You can't tell me where the money that I already paid you went to.
Right.
You know, that was the most preposterous part of it to me. You cannot already paid for.
But that's
no,
because
you have to go find
it
yourself.
But see, that's because you're thinking in terms of two individuals talking to one another. Like, if you and I made a deal and I said, you know, I'm going to cut your grass every week on, you know, such and such a day, then you can easily go and say, look, it's Tuesday, you didn't cut my grass, what are you talking about? You see what I mean? It's real easy. But because corporations are people, thank you, Supreme Court.
You are talking
to an individual. You're talking to the great AT&T or Verizon or whatever corporation you're talking to. And though you're talking to that corporation, you're in reality talking to some guy who's making, let's say, $10 an hour. And that's all he does. I have met, over the last year, I've met at least two, and I think three or four people who have jobs working for telecoms, working for either cable or telephone companies as customer service, and they do it out of their home. They have a laptop, and they patch the phone call through to them, and then that's their job. They don't have to drive to some call center. When you call, you're actually talking to some guy who lives in, you know, Lenexa, and he's just got a headphone on, and he's like, yes, I'll be happy to look that up for you. And he's got a computer that can allow him to do everything he needs to do. You feel like you're talking to the great company, but you're talking to a guy, and he's got the company policies down, and he's got the company equipment. But when it comes time to, like, looking up your billing thing, he's got to contact some guy in Georgia who deals with the billing. But the guy in Georgia deals with the billing as it comes to him from a report, from an activity report that's generated in Ohio. So you got to go to Ohio to find out why that guy reported what he reported, and he's operating off of something. So you're not really talking to an individual. You're talking to a guy who represents a whole bunch of people, right? Like, thousands.
Which is why every time you ask them a question, they say, let me look it up for you.
Let
Hold
me
on
look
one
that
moment.
Up.
Let me
and then
you,
you get
and
tired,
again.
And you go, it's only $20. Screw it. And then they got a million customers, and that's $20 million. And
which
I'm not saying
why, you know,
I'm not saying that they're
determined to not get
right.
screwed.
And I'm not saying that
the
they're
contract, they
right.
violate the contract, and then you have to go out of your way sending letters to all of the Better Business Bureau and the
right.
Secretary of State or whoever you. I mean, not but whoever
right.
you have to send it to, like six different places, and have a copy of that record,
right.
and then they'll still put it on your credit,
right.
and then you have to send a letter to the credit company, credit score company, or whoever controls
so
it, and
it's
say,
not that they are trying
that business, that you have 30 days to get this off of my credit.
Right. So it's not,
you know,
and
you
it
have
is
to,
not.
Like, totally firmly stand your ground, and unfortunately, that's what I was saying about if other people are okay with privacy being light, you know, like not being as critical, even if you're not doing anything wrong. You know, it's just this sheer principle that, you know, I have to stand up for myself. And I don't feel, you know, like, yes, in terms of solving crime, you know, I think it could definitely be helpful in that way. But you've mentioned a lot about, you know, dirty cops or whatever. Like, I'm not sure what the proportion. It can be used either way. And the fact that this is such a huge city, and they're like, I am more concerned about, like, you use the example of someone from Johnson County going to Independence Avenue and that being suspicious behavior. I know in Chicago they have a code, you know, a police code that's supposed to be maintained to a certain quota a day where you stop people at random who look suspicious.
Right.
And there's, if you go on Upworthy.com, there's video of a young man. He's 17. He's, you know, half black and half Puerto Rican or something. And he's wearing a black tank top and his pants are baggy. And he's got a bandana on. And they stopped him around the corner from where they stopped him 10 minutes before. And he turns on his recorder and he says, "You guys just stopped me." And they go, "Why are you doing stuff to look so suspicious?" And he's like, "I'm not doing anything to be suspicious. You're just targeting me. You know, because I'm, you know, in your eyes, you know, lower, whatever, status of money or, you know, whatever the targeting is, you know,
right.
racism, young men being targeted, just young people in general being targeted, whatever, the list goes on." And then they have an interview with another an officer who explains that they're pressured, even if they're good cops and they don't agree with that practice, they get severe pressure
right.
from their superiors to enforce that and make it happen. Otherwise, their jobs are going to be going to suffer. Same thing with people who work for telephone companies, who, you know, they have to work. You know, everybody says, "Oh, well, I have to support my family. I have to," but
right.
our morals are being degraded. You know,
and that's why it becomes imperative that we have this conversation, that we are aware of it, and then we share with one another, because that's the key. Like, when you talk about the situation, like with the telecom and with the police, is that when you share what happened to you, then other people go, "Hey, wait a second, that happened to me too. There is a pattern that's out there. I thought it was just me. You know, I thought that I couldn't really say anything because I was in that neighborhood and that doesn't mean.
Let's say I don't know how soon you have to get off, but let's say we start hearing cases of people who are in a different part of town than their license plate shows, or from where they live, you know, at a certain hour of night, and they're alone or whatever, and we start hearing about cases like that coming up, then it's like, okay, that is a subtle way of letting people know that they should not act out of accordance.
Right. You have deviated from
your
normal course.
We should fear going out at night at different times of day when it's not busy and
right.
such. It's like we're suddenly suspicious? I don't think so.
Right.
This is a city. People live in a city so they can see each other, so they can go places, so they can go get food in the middle of the night. You know, so they can wait for the bar to open at 6 a.m. when they're off of their hospital shift. You know, it's like
right. If
your car is dirty and got like
I don't
want to
go home, man. I'm tired
of
seeing my wife every day for the last 30 years. I just want to go for a drive.
Right.
It don't matter why I'm where I am.
You should be able to go for a drive.
You don't need
to
know where I am.
Constantly.
Why am I where I am? I'm in my skin where I want to be. That's
exactly.
And that's who we are as a people, and that's what we have to maintain. And you're right; it subtly gets eroded. Faith, I appreciate your call, and hopefully you will continue to be a listener, and we will hear from you again.
Absolutely, thank you very much for having this discussion.
Thank you so much. All righty, and Big Dog, I know you're there. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, buddy, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much.
I was reading that same article that you were talking about in yesterday's paper.
Right.
And I get towards the end, which a lot of times I find out a lot of the
pertinent information
is towards the end, right?
Yeah.
But apparently they have a law in the books of Missouri right now that they're passing. Well, it passed with a 31-0 vote to delete all license plate reader information after 30 days if not being used in an investigation. And then that same Senate bill, 599, which has been sent to the House, it will also make it a felony to misuse data collected by law enforcement.
Okay, good deal. Then that is being addressed. Now, you say it was in a piece of legislation that passed. Now, here, yes, I see that now. You're right. It's like right at the very last little column there, out of like 10 to, yeah, out of a lot of exposition. It's like right at the end. Here's just shooting from the hip. Just shooting from the hip, what you just pointed out. 30
mm-hmm.
days, to me, that almost sounds like a poison pill, and that's because I've gotten to be very cynical about the legislature. It may have passed with 31-0 vote in the Senate. It still got to pass the House. And 30 days seems too short. Believe it or not, I see a value for the information being in existence. You know what I'm saying? 30
right.
days to me seems a little short because they were talking about the shootings on this highway being spread out over well over 30 days, right?
Yeah, and I got a little something to add to that, too, that might come as
do you remember the dates of the shootings? It was over the course of a couple of months, right?
Right, but I was I have several acquaintances in the South Patrol.
Right, but do you understand why I'm trying to, before we move forward, because
right.
I'll forget my point here, that if the shootings that we're talking about, that this technology saved, right, that we found the guy, and if they took place over the course of, let's say, 8 weeks, then a 30-day purge of information would have lost some of the data that would have made this guy stand out as the perpetrator. You see what I'm saying?
Well, okay, Michael T., I've read the entire story,
okay.
and I've compared the story that's in the Star paper to my acquaintance that shared with me information, who is
all
a sergeant.
Right, you
South Patrol.
Share what you got. Go ahead.
Okay, and they don't line up. The story in the Star and what I was being told by her does not line up. And so I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I'm either being told one thing or the Star is not telling the entire story.
Okay, before you say it doesn't line up, what doesn't line up?
there was an instance on the Grandview Triangle where this lady was going down the road, and this blue car pulled up next to her, had a hockey mask on with a hoodie, and was looking over at her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like, and she panicked. But she got a partial plate. This partial plate and the make of the car was given to the South Patrol. They ran the information they had, and it narrowed down to four people because the license plates was out of town, in my understanding.
Okay.
From what she was telling me. And so it narrowed it down, and they followed their four leads for a week or two, and she didn't get any more information in a week or two, so that the timeline of it tells me they knew who this guy was about a week ago from what she was explaining to me. And so they surveyed this guy, followed him around, and found his activities to be super suspicious, even followed him around while he was doing his thing in the triangle, and I guess decided not to shoot that day. But the point is that the information that was given by a panicked pedestrian driving the vehicle on the highway and a partial plate led to the arrest of this guy. The readers that you were discussing, because I asked the almost exact same question that you kind of asked yourself, is, you know, just readers, they're prying in our privacy, you know, into our privacy and dictate, you know, marking where we go and this, that, and the other thing. And the most important thing, I think, out of the whole discussion came when it was politely said, the information that we received was used in a data bank to collect these four leads because they went through some sort of, the way she explained it, some sort of algorithm and searching and this, that, and the other thing, and pulled up these license plates and these four. And then the readers did note that these four were in that area at certain times. And so, excuse me, the information that I was getting seem to support some of the story in the Star, but not all of it. So, and then I was like, okay, so
I guess I'm not following what part didn't line up still.
Excuse me. The information that came out about the surveillance of the four vehicles.
Right.
That's not in there. At least from me reading through it, I didn't see it.
Well, it's a for a newspaper today, it's a fairly long story, and they cover a couple of different.
But I guess what I'm trying to say, I'm not saying the Star is trying to blow things up or trying to make things.
I mean,
you know,
I can
whatever.
See that being like in today's paper or something. You know what I mean? Like this is the kind of thing that they'll be happy to stretch out over a few days or weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you get a little more run out of it.
Or just so much you can fit. You know what I mean? I mean, like I said, this is a full page of yesterday's paper plus the front page above the fold. So, you know what I mean? There's
right.
Not that they couldn't have dedicated a little bit more. I mean, we could have done without, I don't know, the dog in the tree thing. But I guess the real issue for me, again, is just a matter of, this is a good technology. I'm not against the technology. The concerns that I have are bad police officers using it in a bad way. And do we have the resources and the wherewithal and the systematic structure to take those guys out? And my concern is that we don't adequately have control over our police now. We need to get control of our police.
I'm going to be watching. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All the more rapidly, because they are getting control of us if they want to be that guy. You see what I'm saying?
I mean, well, sure.
You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about the story where the guy cut somebody off and then got TO'd at that guy, jumps out, beats the hell out of him because he happens to be a police I forget what he was. Was he a DEA agent or something? But because he's a cop, he's able to say, well, he was resisting arrest. Well, what the hell arrest were you making as a DEA agent on a highway? That doesn't even make sense. Nobody stops to say that. But then this guy has to go through years of I think I, if I remember, the guy lost an eye or something out of the deal, and then has to go through all of this rigmarole to get to the guy. And then what the story was about was the fact that now they want to put a law in place that says if you file a complaint against a police officer, that if the police officer is found not guilty, then you will be charged with a felony of false reporting a crime, you know, false reporting against a police officer. Well, that kind of makes it hard to, even if you got a case, go up against a policeman. You might just say, okay, I'll take my ass whooping and be done with it. There we go. I'm through. I've had enough. Because if I now go down to the police department and say, hey, that guy beat the hell out of me for no reason, they're going to say, no, he didn't. And you're going to jail for filing a complaint. Because what you didn't know was when you reported that guy, he's been on the softball team with that guy for 20 years. So you're wasting your time talking to him. And further, the law had a provision that would then disallow you from taking it to the next step. So you couldn't say, oh, man, I messed up and went and talked to the to his police department. They're in on it. I'll just go to the county. You know, that's against the law now. You see, those are the restraints that we have to have on the police so that they have restraint when they use these tools against us.
Okay, so this is actually a law now?
Now I'm going back a few weeks, and I had looked it up. It was a law, much like you were just talking about this. It was a bill that had passed, I believe it was, the Senate in the Kansas legislature and still had it
gotcha.
Before the House. But this is the thing, is that if we're not aware of what they're doing and why they're doing it, because the case of the guy beating the hell out of somebody on the street was like 6 or 7 years old, and I don't remember it. And I'm a big anti-cop violence guy, and I would have remembered a cop beating the hell out of somebody in the middle of an intersection over not a traffic ticket, but over him cutting him off.
Well, I do remember the evil genius constantly saying that you hate cops, so.
Well, I am a cop, anti-cop violence guy. So if that equates to hating cops, I'll wear that badge, get that, quite proudly. So.
All right, man, well, I'm going to jump off here. I got to get at it, and maybe after the suicide or something, if I got a little extra time, I'll shout in on something else that perks my interest.
All righty, sir.
All right, bro. All thanks, right. Man.
Unfortunately, I will not be here after the suicide. I've got some things to take care of. So I'm bouncing all over the place. I was talking about the Ukraine and how they've been doing this thing for a few hundred years. And so I don't know where this is going to go. I do find it... odd, weird. I was thinking about how to even address this one, because I hate it, because I just like Big Dog just said that I was accused in the past of being hating cops. Because I don't want cops to do bad things. I have often been called a liberal, a Democrat, an Obama supporter. Because I end up having to defend him, and I don't even want to defend him. But this whole thing with the Ukraine, ever since it began, I've had a problem with this notion that... And I'm going to have to unpack this a little bit, because I've been on the air for a long time and people are going to accuse me of some kind of double standard, because I had no problem questioning George Bush's foreign policy. But I'm not talking, and we can go into that if you wish, but I'm going to simply talk about this situation right now instead of trying to rehash some 12-year-old fight. So from the get-go, when we started having these problems with the Ukraine-Russia border thing going down, I noticed something, and I think I even mentioned it here on the air. You know, during my probably once a week, I listen to Rush Limbaugh for a little bit, for as long as I can take it. For usually doesn't last a full hour. But I feel like I get, because he keeps saying the same stuff over and over, so unless I'm getting him at just the right time, I have to think he's kind of consistent in his views and consistent in what he says and how he takes issues. And so from the get-go, I recall this when Secretary of State John Kerry, another guy I have no interest whatsoever in defending. He's a bonesman, by the way. You know what I'm saying? I got no interest in defending these knuckleheads. None whatsoever. But he comes out and he goes, hey, it's a civilized world we're living in. We got processes and procedures. Russia, you got a problem. You think Ukraine is unstable and needs your help. There's a system that we go through. You go to the UN, you say, hey, got Security Council. Hey, you sit on the Security Council. And then we do this thing, and there's a way that we do this thing. This is the way it's supposed to go. This is what John Kerry said, roughly. When, before they took whatever they took. They took Crimea, now they're in the process of taking Kiev. And Rush Limbaugh came on, and I don't know what the hell he was expecting. What other action was supposed to have happened initially? We were supposed to load up some tanks and get the show on the road or what? But he lambasted John Kerry for standing there and going like, you did not follow the rules. Teacher, we didn't get homework. Like that's some kind of sissy namby-pamby thing to do to point out diplomatically that there is a procedure that we're supposed to take and yada, yada, yada. But it makes it seems to me, it makes it difficult for the president to operate however he's going to operate when your political body behind you, and it wasn't just him. I mean, we had congressmen and senators and governors and all sorts of folks making every claim about how great Putin was and how much of a sissy Obama was and all of this kind of nonsense. And it makes it, in my mind anyway, it makes it difficult to like state anything with any credibility when, you know, it's clear that your house is divided. One of the greatest movies of all time, and I got a diatribe I want to go into about video stores, so somebody remind me of that, please. But one of the greatest movies of all time is The Godfather. Both one and two. But in one, Don Corleone tells Sonny, never question me in a meeting. They see our division. They work between us. They work us apart. It just seems silly to me that we're in the middle. Oh, my goodness. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry, caller. Please do call me back. I did not mean I was starting the process to get you transferred over. And, well, I'm a colossal screw up. So there you have it. Please forgive me. But it just seems to me that it is irresponsible to like be calling the president a wimp and the administration a wimp because they are trying to handle things in somewhat of a diplomatic way, it makes it harder to then, you know, move forward. KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from? Perhaps you're on the air. I know I pushed the buttons that I was supposed to. Let me try it one,